Well, thank you, trio. Thank you, choir. Those two songs sort of fit the message this morning, so we wanted to sing those. Well, let's stand. Glad to have Matthew, right, back with us tonight. Let's stand. We'll greet each other while the choir comes down.
Is it with us again? And we're thankful for all of you that have come this way. Don't forget, this week now, we've got our prayer meeting on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we'll continue our study in the perfection of the Bible, the perfect Word of God. And I hope you'll be right here on Wednesday night at 7, then Thursday morning, 10 o'clock. The Rusty Anchors will have their outing, leave here at 10 o'clock sharp. So be right here, all of you involved with the Rusty Anchors, and you're going to the Military Museum and then to Doc's Barbecue for lunch. And I know you'll enjoy that, so I hope that you'll make plans to be here, okay? And then, of course, right back here next Sunday and next weekend for regular services, okay? And so let's be working this week, get some tracks, get them out, try to invite folks to come. We're still having a lot of good success with our website. Seems like it draws a lot of visitors this way. In fact, Brother Dowell, I think you found us on the internet, on our website. And so we appreciate the good work that does. It seems to really be helping us. And so I hope that if you get a chance to look at it, check it out. But invite folks to come. The best way to get folks here is by word of mouth. And so if you've got family or friends, you see people that are not here, and I know I think we've got some folks traveling again this week out of town. Good to see Gail. Gail was out with some surgery, and she's doing better. So good to see her here. She's here this morning and again tonight. And so these folks that are traveling, you be sure and pray for them. Continue to pray for Brother David Richardson. Of course, Judy has her test on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, so remember that if you would. And also Donna Ambergy, Brother Estill's daughter who has the cancer, please remember that as well, okay? Next Sunday is also our homeschool recognition service. We've got it all lined up. And we're looking forward to hearing from the homeschoolers, and Brother Austin will be preaching for us, and we've got some other good surprises that day as well. Then they'll be going out to lunch. Afterwards, the church is going to take care of their lunch for them so they can enjoy a time of fellowship and lunch together. All right, and then August the 12th is our anniversary picnic, if you will. Our five-year anniversary is two weeks from today. And so we'll have our anniversary Sunday. Now, we were not able to schedule the revival around it. It was hard to get folks that weren't already booked up. So we're going to have our anniversary revival in September. It's the 11th through the 14th. That's a Monday through a Thursday. Brother Joel Logan, the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, is going to preach our meeting this year. And you're going to enjoy Brother Joel. And he is now the pastor at Tabernacle. And he preaches one time a month away from home. And September's our turn, so we're looking forward to having. He was at Brother Williamson's this past week and got to go there one night, enjoy the service there. And Brother Joel's doing a great job there at Tabernacle, of course, where Dr. Seitler founded the church and was there for so many years, and Dr. Aiken was there after him. So they've had three pastors in their long history. And Brother Joel's doing a great job there, and we're excited to have him come. He doesn't like to be right now. He's brand new. He's only been there a few months. And so he doesn't like to be gone on Sundays if he can help it. So we are glad to accommodate that. So we're going to start on Monday night. We'll get some flyers made up to put out and to send to some of the other churches. We'll have other folks come in. Our choir will be singing every night. And I know that's a month and a half or so away from now. But go ahead and mark it down. Take some time off if you have to. But try to be here for those meetings. I guarantee you Brother Joel will give you something that you can feed on. And so I want you to be part of that. A revival meeting in September. All right. Now, Tuesday night, let's see. No, this is actually a week from Tuesday. If you saw the loop, there are several meetings going on in the area, and many of them are starting next weekend and going through the 2nd or 3rd of August. And so can't get to all of them, unfortunately. Can't be everywhere at once. I know they're having the Rock of Ages conference over at Gant Street. Then in September, they're having the Men for Christ meeting. That's actually the Friday after our meeting is over, so it doesn't bump into that. They're having Brother Eddie Davis is preaching at Almeda in Jefferson on the 1st, and I'm planning to go to that service, so Lord willing. In Jefferson, South Carolina, we leave the church about 5:30. Now, that's still a week or so away. It'll be the 1st of August on Tuesday. If you'd like to go, be sure and let me know. Don't wait to the last minute, because once we're gone, we're gone. So let me know if you'd like to go to that. We take the van or take cars, however you want to do it. But I love to hear Brother Eddie Davis, and he's going to be preaching there. And so we're going to try to go to that. I wish I could go to all of them. I try to go as many as I can. But, you know, all of a sudden there's three or four or five all right there in the same week and just can't get to all of them. So just have to try to pick and choose. But I love Brother Eddie Davis. And so we're looking forward to going here and him. And I'll let you know more about that again next Sunday. Okay? All right, Brother Tim, let's have another song. I thought we didn't. Okay. We need to pray. I'm sorry. I thought we did before the choir sang. I'm behind schedule here. We better pray and ask God to bless this thing before it gets out of hand, all right? Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight and to be able to sing the songs of Zion and to meet with God's people. And Lord, there's much going on, and we want to be involved and have part in all that's going on, whether it's here or other places, Lord. And we're thankful that we have that freedom in the United States of America to be able to go and worship the Lord anywhere and everywhere we want to go. And Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here tonight. We enjoyed this morning, but that's this morning, and that's past. We need something fresh from heaven tonight. So we pray as we open up the Word of God, look into the book of Romans. Lord, as I read through what we'll be reading through tonight, I see so much of the world right now. And so it's no wonder that the world has turned against God and turned against the Lord Jesus. And I'm not so sure that much of the world is not, if not already, they're approaching that terrible place called the reprobate mind. But Lord, there's still people to reach. There's still people with souls, and we got to do all we can, whether it's through our home missions, our own witness, or foreign missions, Lord, however we can get the Word of God out to them. Help us to be faithful to do that in every opportunity. We have tracts back here we need to get out. They're not helping anybody in the rack back here. They need to be out in the streets, out in people's hands and homes. And so I pray that when folks leave tonight, they get a handful of tracts, and let's try to get those tracts out into people's hands and get the gospel to wherever we can. We do appreciate so much Brother Dowell being back with us tonight, and we do pray that you'll bless everything that's done here tonight for the glory of God. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, number 257. 257, farther along, we'll sing the first and last stanzas. Let's stand together as we sing 257. Sing together. Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us. Nevertheless, though in the wrong, farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother.
This evening, and then we'll have our special. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the offering. Brother Hayward, pray for the offering, please, would you?
All right. Well, right before Pastor comes, Brother Steve's coming to join me here, and we're going to sing one of my favorites, He Hideth My Soul.
Wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Oh. wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the clefts of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the clefts of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
All right, thank you, Brother Steve. Well, get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you, old guys duet. Every group writer's got a name, so we had to figure out something. All right, turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to finish out the chapter tonight. And then next week we'll move into chapter 2. We spent a good portion of last week talking about what the Bible refers to as the reprobate mind. And we found in Scripture that there are 9 times in the Bible when the word reprobate or some derivative is used of that word. 4 times to the lost, 4 times to the saved, and 1 time to Israel. And in all those cases, it was always connected, the reprobate mind is always connected with sin, whether it is a backslidden condition, or a lost condition, or in fact, as we found in the book of Romans, the word here and the term here is used when God turned them over, when he gave them over, meaning that they crossed a line. And we saw in Ephesians where the Bible said that the problem, what happens is they are past feeling. When a person who's unsaved rejects Christ over and over and over, now I believe with my heart that God gives man many chances. Everybody here, if probably more than likely, most of us, if maybe not all of us, if God had turned us or gave us over after the first time that we said no, then probably none of us would be saved here today. But I'm thankful that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so in doing that, he gives us opportunity, many opportunities. But even God has a point where he'll draw the line, as it were, and you cross that line, and then God is finished. And we find that 3 times throughout the book of, or the chapter 1 of Romans, God gave them up in verse 24. He gave them up in verse 26. This, I think, is God's opportunities. This is God giving another chance. But then finally, they got to a place where God gave them over, meaning that they crossed the line. As old J. Harold Smith used to preach, God's 3 deadlines. God has a deadline. Now, can I say to you tonight, if you're unsaved here, I am not God, and I do not determine when you've crossed that line. I don't have that authority. It's not up to me. I have never at any point claimed anyone to be reprobate. There are people that I believe, perhaps, crossed the line. I know in my own life, in my own testimony, I was there. As a believer, or as a fake believer, we hear all about fake news these days. Well, back when I was a teenager, I was a fake believer. I knew all the words. I went to church. I went to Sunday school. Did all them things, Christian school, the whole nine yards. But it wasn't until I was 17 that I trusted Christ and repented of my sin. And so, and I believe that moment, God sort of dealt with my heart about crossing that line. Now, I was 17. I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible as I hope I do now. But it was clear to me. It was clear in my heart that God had basically said to me after 5 years of chances. I mean, church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, Sunday school every Sunday, revival meetings, didn't miss a service unless I was sick, and that was very rare in my family. Youth meetings, choir, and then, of course, Christian school and having chapel 3 times a week, Bible class every single day. I mean, I was bombarded with opportunities. God gave me so many opportunities. And finally, in 1976, on the 26th day of August, it was like God said to me, "This is it. After 5 years of opportunity, if you don't get saved now, I'm not coming back." And buddy, that scared the daylights out of me, and in fact scared the devil out of me. I got saved. And I tell you now, you know, and again, God deals with people differently and all of that. I understand that. But again, dealing with my own heart, I recognize what God was saying to me. But I do not have the authority to look at you or anyone. No matter how deep in sin they may have gone or are in, I don't have that authority, but God does. And so here he describes that as being given over in verse 28. Why? Because they did not like, that's important here, and I'll start right there tonight. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. It wasn't that they couldn't, they didn't want to. You know, we went yesterday after we went bowling with the men, went to the Chinese restaurant. Now, there's a lot of things there I like. There's some things there I'm just not going to eat. They had one thing there, had a fish head and a fish tail. I'm talking about eyeballs and everything. And whoever was there had eaten out the middle part. And so as the men would come up, I'd say, "Y'all want a fish head?" And I even asked Brendan if he wanted a fish head. He said, "No, I don't believe I want a fish head." I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't have touched it. Then they had these little round-looking things. I don't know what they looked like, but the sign said squid. So I started asking the fellers. I said, "Y'all want some squid?" Well, none of them did except Shelton and somebody else. Somebody else tried it, I think. Who was it? Brian, yeah. Brian and Shelton both tried it. Now, Shelton said it tastes like a rubber band. I'm not going to try anything that if you're not careful could reach around and get you. Now, these things were all cut up. You know, I wasn't going to try nothing like that. Somebody said, "Preacher, why not?" Brian tried to get me to try sushi. No thanks. Now, I know that's a delicacy and people pay big money to eat seaweed and raw fish. You knock yourself out. I'm not doing it. Somebody said, "Preacher, why not?" "Because I don't like it." Hey, I know. You know, I understand. You know, they say that fish is good for you. You know, but I like mine bad or fried. Say amen right there. Yeah, if I'm going to eat it, I want my cholesterol to know we've been there. Say amen. I don't eat baked fish and broiled fish and all that sort of thing. Why? Because I have tried it. Now, I haven't tried sushi, and I'm not going to. I mean, I've made up my mind. So I've tried just about everything once. If I don't like it, and I've made up my mind, I'm not getting it again. I don't care how you paint it. I don't care how you fix it. Because in my mind, I have already decided that I'm not, in my knowledge, I'm not going to like it. And that's just the way it is. Brother Ed's that way about seafood. Because he's the one I asked about the fish. He said, "I don't eat no seafood." I said, "What about this fried shrimp?" He said, "I don't eat no seafood." See, he's already got it in his mind that he doesn't like seafood. Now, it all doesn't taste the same, but it all comes from the same ocean. Amen. And so, you know, you just, some people that way, we're that way. These folks had heard the Word of God. The Bible said they had the knowledge of God. Everybody in this room, believe it or not, according to the Scripture, everybody in the world has the knowledge of God. And that's why when we start in chapter 2 and verse 1, God is playing through the Apostle Paul and saying, thou art inexcusable, O man. He didn't say, oh, some of you men. That word man is everybody. Nobody is going to have an excuse before God not knowing who he was. Now, how they promote that knowledge, well, that's different. These folks, many, have decided that they didn't like. Now, they may see, for example, I saw some of the folks eating some things they enjoyed. I don't like it. I can't keep you from eating it. And I wouldn't. But I'm not going to eat it, you know. Well, these folks had the knowledge of God and didn't like it. It's not that they couldn't have it. It's not that they couldn't have made a decision to come to Christ. But the Bible said they did not like to retain the knowledge of God. So they made the choice. And there again, remember, when a person, if you go to heaven or hell, it will be your choice exclusively. Whether you like it or not, if you love Jesus or not, if you love the gospel or not, that's your choice to make. Nobody is going to be able to really. Now, when you think about it in the light of Scripture, nobody is going to be able to blame anybody else. Now, let me say that if we don't give them the gospel, if we have that opportunity and don't, then as the Bible talks about their blood being upon our hands, that's true, and we'll have to answer for that. But nobody then will look at us if there's a neighbor that I don't witness to, and they go to hell. Well, number one, I'm not going to be at the great white throne when that happens. I'm already going to be in heaven. And some people say, you know, well, they'll point their finger and say, you didn't tell me. I'm not even going to be there. But certainly at the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to bring to my knowledge the fact that I did not. And I will lose a reward based upon the fact that I didn't care about that neighbor. But that neighbor, when he stands at the great white throne of judgment, is not going to bring up my name somewhere and say, that preacher next door didn't tell me about Jesus. Because the Bible said, thou art inexcusable, O man. Now, the difference is that you all that are here today and right now, if you walk out of here and say you've never heard, you're lying. And so there's a difference there. But let's get right back to it now. Verse 29, notice he said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I mean, they've gone beyond just sin. Now, and I don't mean to minimize sin, of course. But I really believe in my heart that even though sin is the same and Satan operates the same, by the very text we're about to read here, and literally, Paul goes almost from A to Z in sin. If you were to count out the letters for everything he mentions here, we get all the way to W. So that's only three away from the entire alphabet. And so that's a lot. And what we have found here is not just that sin is in its normalcy. Now, because it's not convenient, it is now abnormal. We are now living in an age of abnormal sin. And what I mean by that is the means by which it's being practiced and where it's being practiced and how it's being promoted. Where one time things, you know, we didn't promote sin. Now it's promoted. Now it's emblazoned in our advertising and it's emblazoned in the newspaper and TV and movies. And you can't go anywhere where something is not being advertised with either something sinister or something sexual. Because man has now come to the conclusion that's a good way to reach folks. And it's possible because the advertisers, not in a spiritual sense, of course, but I believe that they have come to the conclusion that people have so gotten away from what used to be convenient, what used to be normal and logical, is now no longer that way. And so that's where we find ourselves now in verse 29. One thing I want you to notice here before we get into these, and I looked this up. What we find is in the previous verses, we find what led up to these folks being given over to a reprobate mind. And had Brian help me here just a few minutes ago. I looked it up, wrote it on a piece of paper, and then left it at home. So I had to hurry up, get Brian to help me with his smartphone because he knew how to operate it, and I didn't. But anyway, what I find here is there is the word affect with an A, and then the word effect or effect with an E. And although they look pretty close and sound close, they're not the same. And so what we find in the verses previous to verse 29 is the affect of sin. The word affect, A-F-F-E-C-T, means influencing something to happen. Influencing something to happen. When a person is affected by something, they're not forced, they're influenced. And that's what we find in this world now. That's why your children and your grandchildren's futures are at stake here. Because everything in the world that Satan has to offer is an effect to their lives. He wants to influence them. But remember, Satan cannot make anyone do anything. He cannot force you to do anything. But an effect comes from an outside source. He'll do everything he can to affect your children's education. He'll do everything he can to affect your children's growing up and their formative years. He'll do everything he can to affect their spiritual growth by stunting that spiritual growth. And everything he has and does is an influence. And that's why I recommend so much moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas when you can, when you've got your grandchildren, if they're not being raised in a Christian home, I'm not talking about necessarily going against the parents, and I know that can be a pretty slippery slope right there. But what you need to do is make sure that your kids and grandkids always see the effect of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Because the effect that he made in your life before you got saved now affects the life you live now. And so affect comes before. That's an influence. Effect is what then happens. The word effect means to cause something to happen and bring about. So the affect here is the previous verses. Now, what do we see? We see, and he's very specific about things like homosexuality, and you can talk about liquor, and you can talk about drugs, any sin you want to, and about all of them are now being put out there for everybody to see, where one time it was all done in the dark and in secret. That's why it used to be that bars and taverns, all the windows were blacked out, because they didn't want the light of the outside to come in. They didn't want people to be able to see inside what wickedness they were doing. I'll never forget my dad used to tell me that all the time after he got saved. He's a drunk, but he got saved, and he would tell me. In fact, I might have asked him that because I recognized that right away. When I was a younger boy, we'd have to walk to school several miles, and we'd go by this place, and it was a joint. Now, I never got involved, and thank God I didn't. Only by the grace of God I didn't. But as young boys, you know, they'd have the front door open, and you'd hear the music inside that place. And so we'd walk and we'd walk up to the door and we'd try to look in. Now don't laugh, you would have done it too. You know, some of you went in. Say amen right there. But we would look in, and you know what it was? Now somebody said, my mother would say, don't you go by that place. You cross the street, you don't go by there. And you know, we always thought they left the door open because it was hot. But in Michigan it's not hot all the time. Listen, I'm convinced they left that door open to draw young people like us. Because both the junior high and the high school that I attended before I went to Christian school, the public schools, you had to walk by that place to go to either one of them. There was no other way. You had to walk down Middle Belt Road, across Michigan Avenue, and that's the only way you could get there. And that place, and by the way, the last time I was there, which is 3 or 4 years ago, that place is still there. Still right there, after all these years. And I'm convinced that the door was open. Many times you go by these places, and the door will be open. Now, the windows are all blacked out, and the lights are all out, except for the neon or whatever. But isn't it amazing? They leave the door open. You know why? They're hoping somebody will be influenced, affected by the music, or by the lure of wonder what's in there. You know, the natural curiosity. And isn't it amazing that in that particular place, it was junior high and high school students? Because Satan would love to get them when they're that age. Because if he can get them at that age, he's got them. Unless the grace of God intervenes. You know, it's... I know it's true, and some Brother Steve, and I know others, if you've ever tried to win an older person, the older a person gets, the harder it is to win them to Christ. And the reason is because they were affected by something in their young life, and then the effect of it was that they got to that place, just like the man you talked to said, I don't want anything you got. Something got him to that place. And by the way, that man made that choice to say to Brother Steve, in fact, he made the choice for his family. He said, we don't want what you have. And that's where we are in this world. And so now I want you to look with me. There's something really good here I want you to notice in verse 29. Notice the effect now was all that sort of sin hidden and sort of underground. But now it's come out. Now they have made their choice. They have decided not to retain God in their knowledge. But now look at verse 29. Being filled. Here is the effect. The affect is the influence. Here now is what brings it to pass. Here's where the effect, if you will, begins. They've made their choice. They've been influenced. They have heard it all. And by the way, according to the Word of God, they heard both sides. Amen? Because the Bible said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Well, somebody gave them the right side of this issue. But they chose to go the wrong way. They chose to go against the Word of God. By the way, isn't it unusual when I get to this Romans chapter 1, this very important part, it gets stormy outside? You don't reckon the devil's trying to just let us know he's not pleased. You know what I say to that? Goody goody. I'm glad. I don't want him to be happy with us. Now notice he's filled. Now hold your spot there. I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. Go over a few pages. I'll give you just a couple of scriptures here. Now we see where these folks are filled with unrighteousness. And we'll get into that more specifically in a moment. But I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. And I want you to look at verse number 23. It's page 1251 in your Schofield Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 22. We'll look at two verses. And hath put all things under his feet. And gave to him to be the head over all things to the church. Now notice, which is his body, the fullness of him that doeth what? Filleth all in all. Now remember, these folks that did not like to retain God in their knowledge got both sides of the story. They were affected by both sides. By the knowledge of God and the knowledge of sin. But the Bible says here that you and I were also given both sides of the story. And thank God, if you're born again, you chose the right side of the story. You chose the right side of the coin, if it were. Because the Bible said for us, hey, they were filled. This is the effect of their not retaining God in their knowledge. Here's our effect. Here's what's brought to pass in our life for making the right choice. The Bible said, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we're filled with the opposite. The direct opposite of what those folks in Romans chapter 1 are filled with. We're filled with righteousness and goodness. Look at chapter 3 and verse 19 of Ephesians. Just turn the page. Ephesians 3 and verse number 19. Notice the Bible said, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now listen, you know what filled means? To the top. You know what filled means? Till there's no more room. You know what the effect of knowing God is, we should be filled and ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And filled with the fullness of God till there's not room. There's no room for unrighteousness. I didn't say that you become perfect. Of course not. But it is so effectual in our life. until when that happens, that same Holy Ghost that fills us is the one that's putting the brakes on us when we're trying to decide whether we want to go in another direction. See, I want to retain God in my knowledge. Now, I may at times, and do, and so do you, make wrong choices. And we have to get it right. But my desire in my heart as a Christian is to make the right choice and to retain God and do things that are convenient. And what I mean by that, things that are right, things that are there that I should do, not to the degree and to the direction that we read in Romans chapter 1. Now, notice, turn with me quickly to chapter 5 of Ephesians. Chapter 5. Turn over a page. Paul did a lot of talking to the Ephesians about this subject here. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 18. The Bible said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye," what? "Filled with the Spirit." Being filled with the Spirit. We have made the choice. We have been affected by the world, and we have made a choice not to go the direction of drinking and drugs and that wicked life, but we have chosen the effect to be filled with the Spirit. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. One more, and then I'll get back to Romans. But I want you to see all of this. I want you to mark these down if you haven't already. Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse number 11. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 11. Page, 1257 in your Schofield Bible. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Being filled. Here's the effect now. This is what happened. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so we have the effect. The effect upon our life is that we chose to retain God. We got saved. We want God to be number one. Well, the Bible said in Colossians, in all things He must have the preeminence. We want Him to be number one in our lives. And when He is, He will then fill us and keep us filled. And so the effect then, what's brought to pass in our life, is good works and righteous living and being sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. Now, go back to Romans chapter 1. Now we're going to look real quickly. And this is a long list, so I'm going to go down through them quickly tonight. I believe we ought to look at them because not only I hope we'll see where we came from, but see very vividly and plainly where this world is going even today. And Paul wrote this, 2,000 years ago. But boy, is it right on line with today. Notice what the Bible said down in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Here is the effect of their choice. They were affected by what was out there, and they made a choice. And now, here is the fruit of that choice. First of all, being filled with all unrighteousness. That word unrighteousness means injustice, evil doing, every kind of evil. Hey, listen, we're no longer, sin is not specialized anymore. Some people used to be, my dad, for example, was a drunk, but he took care of us. He wasn't the kind that would spend every dime and just, we're destitute and out in the street. If I can say this, and I'm not trying to minimize it, he specialized in being a drunk. That's the one thing that he really enjoyed doing. As far as I know, he wasn't involved in, and I'm not saying he didn't anything else, but to my knowledge, he was not involved much in anything else, but he loved to drink. And it caused problems, and it caused difficulties. But he didn't drink and do drugs and go out and run around to my mother and beat the children and all the other things that could and do go with that sometime. But when a person is filled with unrighteousness, that, you know what that means? You remember what I said, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for anything else? That's the problem. That's the effect of being given over, is they're filled with unrighteousness, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for the gospel. There's no room for God. There's no room for church. There's no room for anything spiritual. Because they're filled with the wrong thing. So the Bible talks about them being filled with unrighteousness. And then notice fornication. Now we all know that word is an immoral sexual word. But it literally means, and the Greek word is where we get the word pornography from. And it means literally any and all kinds of immorality and sexual vice. It again no longer is just something. It has now blossomed into a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, listen, how many of you folks remember back in the day when you could walk around your neighborhood not worry about getting picked up? And then gradually, as I remember, as I got older, it started to get a little more. And now, listen, they'll break in your house and take your kids right out of their bed. And you in the next room. I mean, they have figured out how to do things that years ago, listen, not only that, but if they got caught, buddy, they'd get hurt. In the neighborhood I grew up in, buddy, if you mess around with any of the neighborhood kids, buddy, you better have a real good reason, because that crowd would have jumped on your head. And I think rightly so. Somebody got in here and tried to grab one of these kids out of here, I think we ought to take them outside, whoop them real good, and then witness to them. Oh, I know. Preacher. Man, you're not showing the love of God. Yeah, I am. Sure I am. God's a God of wrath, and He's a God of love. So we give Him the wrath first, give Him the love later. Say amen right there. So there's fornication. Wickedness. That word literally means depraved activity. Dangerous and destructively evil. I mean, it's gone beyond just, you know, just not really right. It's gone to the place where it's destructive. And it's, I mean, and people are so cold. And, you know, these folks that get caught doing these things and they act like it's no big thing. They laugh about it. I mean, they're so wicked. You say, well, preacher, I'm glad that I'm far from that. And you may be. But hey, you better make sure you're filled with righteousness and the Spirit of God and the fruits of righteousness, because it may not affect you, it may not affect you, but it could affect your family and those generations to come. Because remember what I said, Satan knows if you're saved, he can't get you, so he's not targeting you. When he gets on your case to make you sin, it's not to hurt you, it's to hurt the kids that are watching you. It is the effect on your children that could bring about their choice somewhere down the line that says, if mom and dad can't live right, then I don't have to either. And now they've made their choice. They've chosen not to retain God in their knowledge. And unless the grace of God intervenes, they're on their way to a reprobate mind. That is the normal pattern here. But notice, here's the effect. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Then covetousness, and we know what that is. One of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. But this is more than just saying, boy, I'd like to have that. That'll bring them to making decisions about, I'm going to have that. I'm going to take it. I'm going to steal it. Man, listen, it used to be, man, you'd leave your house unlocked. And you didn't have to lock up all your stuff. Now, you about have to have a vault to keep things in, because they'll take it. They'll just take it. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they get caught. It just doesn't matter anymore. That's the effect of this crossing over. The world is crossing over, I'm afraid. But there's covetousness. Then notice maliciousness. That isn't just ill will. You know, if you've ever been malicious towards someone, you hope they fail. But this maliciousness is a different word. This means spite. Not only holding a grudge, but acting upon it. I'm telling you, you'll never find joy holding a grudge. You'll never be happy. You'll never have the joy of the Lord if you hold a grudge. But I'm telling you, you'll go to jail if you act on it. You ever been mad enough at somebody to say, boy, I'd like to take them out and whoop them? Well, you go ahead and you'll go to jail for it. Huh? You know that's right. I'm talking about over something like, you know, your fence is on my property, or, you know, your dog poo-pooed in my yard or something like that. And listen, folks, you see now, man, you look at somebody wrong on the highway and they'll shoot your head off. Amen. What? Are you serious? Yeah. And that's where we've gotten to. That's the malicious nature of the human being these days. And it's being promoted. How, preacher? By the public and education and other things, promoting government, everything in the world promotes ungodliness. And so it may start off as a little bit of a row. But listen, there's not enough knowledge of God in the world anymore. That's why, folks, listen. And I know this is a touchy subject, but it ain't touchy to me. That's why folks now, they have so forgotten to retain the knowledge of God. That's why they'll go to church dressed like a bunch of hobos. And they're being invited to be that way. When the church sign says, come as you are. Where does it stop? Somebody said, preacher, you're kind of hard on some things. Because you know why? If you're not, where does it stop? First they stop wearing their regular church clothes. Then they start wearing, casual clothes. And then it goes to shorts. And then it goes to breeches with holes in them, and they pay for them that way. And then it goes to their jammies. Really? Come on now. I mean, they'll go to church. If it wasn't for their jammies, they'd be naked. And listen, you mark down what I'm telling you, it'll probably get there for too much longer. And so here's the thing. And that's when everybody says, wait a minute. We're not going to do that. Well, if you've let it go that far, it's going to be kind of hard to stop it from going any farther, isn't it? So, listen, if I'm wrong about this thing, I hope God, when I get to heaven, God say you're wrong about that. But I'd rather be wrong this way than wrong the other way. Because it influences a wicked life. It influences a malicious life. It influences this life where now they say, if somebody hurts me, I'll get even. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. For a while, I had to battle with that. I did. Now, I'm not lying to you. I'm human like you are. Buddy, when some things happen in my life, I've wanted God to stomp every one of them. Just stomp them out. And He didn't. Instead, God had to work on me. Because that's God's job to do that. I've come to the conclusion, I'm not going to waste my time worrying about all that stuff. I got enough to worry about right here. Somebody say amen. And you got enough to worry and point your finger at you. That's right. We got enough to worry about without holding a grudge and trying to get even. Then notice the next thing here. And I'll just go down the list quickly. Envy. The word envy here is not just jealousy, but wants others to suffer while they lose what they have. See, it's not just being jealous over what they have, hoping somehow something bad will happen and they'll lose it all and suffer in the process. That's where we've gotten to. And by the way, remember, this is the Word of God. This is God's vision on this thing. This is what God sees in that crowd that has crossed over. They become envious to the point of wanting to hurt and want others to suffer. Then there's murder. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Because now it's just amazing how families are killing themselves and each other killed. Listen, those poor kids. Listen, mom and dad, if you're having trouble, work it out, but don't kill your children over it. And they'll kill the children to get back at the other spouse. That's just wicked. When I hear it and see it in the news and stuff, man, that just bothers the hound out of me. It just does. Then also, there's debate. That's all we hear nowadays. We need to have a civil debate. Well, I don't think there's any such thing as a civil debate anymore. It's very uncivil. Because, those of us that believe the right way, we're not tolerant. And those who believe the wrong way are tolerant, but they're only tolerant to us if we follow their leadership. If not, then we're homophobes and xenophobes and every kind of phobe you can think of, They don't, and this word debate here means discord. You know what the Bible said? These six things that the Lord hates, say yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And the last, the seventh one, the one that's the abomination, is he that soweth discord among the brethren. God said that's the worst of all. Mm-hmm. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Buddy, when you start, and listen, don't think for a minute that it can't creep in here. Because all it takes is people unsaved with wicked minds, and you know what? Wicked imaginations. They have learned, Satan has taught them, because he's good at it. The Bible said he can transform himself into an angel of light. You know, if he wanted to, he could come in here and fool every one of us. Unless the Holy Ghost illuminated the picture. And I'm glad that there have been times in my ministry where folks have come in and man, they schmooze up to you and talk good. Boy, they'll sing Amazing Grace, tell you they've been saved, and carry a King James Bible. And then sit right there in the pew, men and women both, with a very plan of trying to destroy the work of God. I've had it happen to me on several occasions in my ministry. That's where we are, folks. That's this thing of discord and contention, fighting in a dishonest and evil way. You know, listen, I'm convinced that Donald Trump is not the answer to our trouble. He's just not. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I voted for him. At least he's not a Democrat. Now, if you're a Democrat, shame on you. Because they believe in stuff that you shouldn't believe in. Like abortion. Hello? Hello? Might as well get it all in while I'm here. Storming outside. The lights might go out in a minute. We'll have to leave anyway. But I'm going to tell you something. Isn't it amazing how the other side, the Democratic side, lost? I mean, you know, it just, that's the way it happened. You know? But now, my, how they're trying to personally destroy the man. It's not political, it's personal. Going after his kids, going after his 10-year-old son. And his family's grandkids. I mean, come on! That's the world we're living in, where there's no civility anymore. It's not debating ideas. It's trying to destroy personalities and character. And you know as well as I do, I think everybody in this room, you ready? Include everybody from the pulpit to the back pew back there. I'm telling you, if folks dug around in our life long enough, they'd find something to ruin us. No matter how hidden you have it. Amen, now. You say, oh, no, they would, they wouldn't find mine. If the Holy Ghost can find it, because he can, and he has. Now, it's been forgiven. If you're saved, it's under the blood. Hallelujah. Don't think for a minute the devil won't drag it out. Then notice the next thing here is deceit. What time is it, man? I got to go. Deceit. That means to mislead or give a false impression by word, act, or influence. See, it's not just, you know, man, did you hear about so-and-so? I mean, now it's put out there like it's fact. And as soon as they find out it's not, who cares? They just keep right on going with it. And you know, that happens in the church too, you know. It sure does. If you're not filled with the Spirit and filled with the fruits of righteousness, somebody will wrong you, and before you know it, you've got something started. And I promise you, if you're in sin, it's not going to be totally honest. That's deceit. That's what the Bible said. Now, he said, preacher, you're not talking about me. No, I'm talking about those that have been given over. But we have to be careful because reprobate, the word is still an influence to the believer. Not to the point of crossing over where we can't get saved, because we are. But half the time in Scripture, when the word's used, he's dealing with Christians who have gotten away from God. And I don't know about you, but I'm still living in flesh. And so I'm still capable of doing that. Then he goes on with the word there in, where are we at here, in verse 29, malignity. That means wanting to see others suffer in sin as they are. They now, you know, they don't want to give up theirs. So they want you to get involved so that it can destroy your life and they can say, see? That's what a maligner will do. He'll set a trap for you. And if you fall, he'll be the first one to broadcast it to everybody who will listen. That's where we are, folks. Whatever happened to Ephesians, Galatians 6:1? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, tell it! That's what we do. But it says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. It could be you. lest thou also be tempted. You see, God's got the bases covered here, folks. But here's the effect. Malignity whispers that secret gossip, secret slander, without care for others' feelings. Murmuring. Murmur, 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 murmur. Old Brother Joel preached at homecoming at Tabernacle, talked about murmurs. Had the whole crowd go murmur, murmur, murmur. You should hear that. Man, I'm telling you, that it sounded like a beehive. And you know what a murmur is? That's saying it just loud enough for people to hear the sound, but they don't hear what you're saying. And then here's what they do. What'd you say? Did I hear you say something about Brenda? Maybe I'm wrong, but what'd you say? That's how it gets started. That's whispering. My mother always said it was impolite to whisper. But we've all done it, haven't we? Amen? Oh, yeah. Hey, but this is, then notice, backbiters. That goes beyond whispering. See, whispering is secret gossip. Backbiting is loud, overt gossip and slander. Now you just, hey, did you hear about Brenda? Hello, did you hear about, what? Did you hear about Brenda? Beep. Beep. No, what? Let me tell you. Because then nobody can hear what you're saying. See, I'm telling you, these smartphones are smart, but they can be wicked, evil tools if we want them to be. Oh, yeah. Amen. Then notice how it progresses now to even worse. Haters of God. See, at one time they didn't like to retain His knowledge. Now they just hate Him. They're so wrapped up in their wickedness until they're haters of God. They hate everything and everyone that has to do with God. You know, why does an atheist who doesn't believe there's a God spend so much time trying to convince everybody there isn't one? Time, money, advertising, billboards, buses, that there's no God. If there is no God, then the Ten Commandments on the front lawn at the State House shouldn't bother them. But it does, doesn't it? Haters of God. Oh, they want you to think they don't believe there is one, but they sure do hate Him enough to fight Him at every turn. Then we go on. Despiteful. That means insolent, insulting, and defying. Now it's no longer just, you know, a secret thought. Now we're just insulting with language and verbiage and actions and the way we do things. We just it's like we're not happy if we're not insulting people. And then there's proud. We know what that is. We know what God thinks about pride. It goeth before a fall. And we've gotten to the place that this world is so proud because they say, we have arrived. We've done it. When we've already shown you that without God, it's impossible. Then boasters. Those are braggarts now. I guarantee you you're gonna agree with this one. You ever known someone, no matter what you did, they did it first and did it better? Hey, man, I went, you know what I did too, man. I spent more and did more. And, oh, you know what? I'm glad you got to, but man, I'm better than you. Right? I must be hitting a chord somewhere because I swear, y'all. Now, you say, well, you're not talking about me. Hope so. Inventors of evil. Boy, are we there. Now they're making up ways to be evil. Now it's just not normal evil. Now it's invented evil. Just all kinds of things. Disobedient to parents. Hello. Well, we could spend some time there, couldn't we? Yeah, disobedient to parents. I've never seen an age where young people are so disrespectful to parents and any other adult. My mother's 80 years old. If I sassed another adult and she was nearby, she'd smack me. You say, well, I'll tell you right now, my mother wouldn't do that to me. Well, you better be glad your mother's not my mother. And then you say, well, I'll tell you, I'd hit her back. You go ahead. Help yourself. I learned a long time ago that wasn't a good idea. She may be short and squatty, but she's still got a little power in her punch. Amen. Then notice what I got to hurry. Without understanding means foolish and without conscience. Doing things without a conscience. Covenant breakers. Boy, are we living in an age where you can't hardly trust anybody? Unfaithfulness. I mean, untrustworthy. What about, and it has the idea of treachery. It's not just being untrustworthy. It's untrustworthy trying to hurt or trying to make waves or trying to get a, you know, climbing the ladder, they call it. But stepping all over anybody to get there. Treachery and without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Not just what we read about in the previous part of the chapter, but it goes beyond that to heartless and without human emotion. Without human emotion. I mean, they'll do wicked things and look at you like, so what? No big deal. They'll go to court and laugh in the face of the family of the person that they've killed. And that family is hurting, and they'll just laugh at them. That's where we are, folks. That is the effect of being given over. What about implacable? Just two more and I'm done. Implacable. That means incapable of making peace or agreement. It doesn't matter what you say, I'm never going to forgive you. You know what Jesus said? If that's your attitude, then don't come to me with your gifts. He said, if you can't forgive, don't come to me with your gifts. He said, if you can't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. He said, well, boy, I'm glad I'm not one of those. We have to be careful about that one, don't we? Being forgiving. And then the last one is unmerciful. And that's without mercy or pity. I'm finished. I'll just make this one last point, the last verse here in the chapter. How folks can, you know, it's one thing if you get in a fight with an adult, but man, you're so wicked and evil until you take it out on a baby, a little helpless infant. I just don't get that. I'm sorry, but I love these kids around here, man. I like to pick. I want them to love me, and I want to love them and smooch on them and hug them. I mean the right way. Don't misunderstand me, because I just love children, always have. And I can't imagine taking Emma or Brendan or Chloe and hurting them, torturing them, molesting them, and killing them. There's something wrong with that, folks. That is evil beyond compare to me. Now, I'm just going to tell you. But that's the world we're living in. It happens all the time. And nobody says anything about it. And they, listen, you can have drugs in your car and get a longer sentence than if you molest a baby. I don't get that. Listen, they hurt little children like that, they'd be put under the jail. That's right. Dig a hole and put them under the jail. Say, well, we have to be compassionate. Well, ask them, were they compassionate when they were mistreating that little baby that couldn't say anything about it? Well, what does it all culminate with? Verse 32, and I'm done. Who knowing... Listen, remember, they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. They had the opportunity. Then we find the effect of their life. Now it's just snowballed into this awful, wicked, reprobate mind. And verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, who, I don't believe there's a hell. Well, they may tell you that, but the Bible says that man knows the judgment of God. Maybe not to the degree that we know it because we have Scripture and we believe it. But the Bible said, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. According to God, this crowd is worthy of being executed. But look what it says. This is God's view on this subject. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You say, I would never do anything like that, but if you don't mind if somebody else does it, according to God, you're just as wicked as they. The book of Proverbs says not only is drunkenness wrong, but he said it's a sin to put it to their lip, to give it to them. For I don't drink. I'm a Christian. I don't drink. But here, you know, I don't drink, but I know you do. So here, let me give you one. God said, you're as guilty as they are. So that's the life, that's the world we're living. The judgment of God, he said, the judgment of God. Not only do they enjoy their own sin, but they encourage others to participate, and they take great pleasure in watching them commit these sins. Do you realize that we're probably the only hope they have left? Now, the Bible says, obviously, that we're not going to reach them all. And we're not. But if we can reach one, before they get to this point, our influence, our affect ought to be, come to Jesus. You can have a better life. You don't have to live in that wicked, sinful, dark place. Now, if they choose not to, Brother Steve, what did Paul and them do? Didn't they? In the book of Acts, when the Jews finally went over the top, Bible said he shook his clothes off and moved on to the Gentiles. You may not reach them all. But we got to at least make the effort. Because God still loves and saves old sinners. And it's only by the grace of God that you and I are not in this list. And so we need to be careful, we need to be watchful, mindful, but also be able to try to at least say, hold it! I beg you, don't go any farther. If they go past you with their hair on fire, God's not going to hold you accountable. And so we're going to get into chapter 2 next week and try to move a little faster along in some of the verses. But chapter 1 of Romans is one of those chapters that I think that God's people ought to understand. You ought to understand it, know what it is, because that's what we deal with right now. The rest of it is more directed towards us and how we live. But if our life's not going to affect others, then the effect will be that they'll have no chance. And so we've got to try to win them to Christ. Father, thank you for this time together. And thank you for the study of the Word of God. And Lord, we're grateful. Lord, I'm grateful that I'm saved. Lord, I realize that all of these things could have been a part of my life had the influence of the gospel not been brought to me when I was around 12 years old. And it got my mother right with God. It saved my dad and then worked in my own heart. And even though it took 5 years of faking because I made a profession without really knowing what I was doing, but I'm thankful that 5 years later you touched my heart and gave me the opportunity to trust Christ before I was given over. God, what an awful, awful life I would be living if I was even still alive in this list of things. And I know the folks living this life want you to believe that, boy, there's nothing like it, that it's the best thing ever. If they'd be honest deep down in their soul, they'd say, I wish there was something better than this. But unfortunately, Lord, that's all they know. They have the knowledge of God, but they don't like to retain it. And now look where it's taken them. Oh, God, help Anchor Baptist Church to be a light on the hill. And that we'll love sinners. We don't love their sin, and we won't tolerate disruption and wickedness. But, Lord, we're to love the sinner. Until such a time that they get saved, or such a time when God, you yourself, makes the determination to give them over. When that day comes, then I don't guess we have to worry about it anymore. Oh God, give us compassion for souls and for sinners. Lord, there may be somebody right here in this room living some of this very lifestyle. Without Christ, they're never going to have any joy. They're never going to get victory over it. They're never going to know what it is to have real peace in their heart until they get out of this list of things and and give their heart to Christ. Completely and totally, and most of all, really give their heart to Christ. Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.